Chair McPherson, Vice Chairs, members of the committee. My name is Scott Shore. I'm from 3110 Northeast Klickitat in Portland, Oregon. I understand time is short, so I'm just going to hit the bullet points on this. This is a very simple bill that will add the variable annuity product to the definition of security under the Oregon securities laws. Variable annuities are securities. They're essentially mutual funds, usually wrapped with a very thin layer of insurance. They go up and down with the market, and the investor in the product bears the risk of loss when it goes up and down. And we simply think that as securities with this thin insurance wrapper, they should be treated as securities. They're currently treated primarily as insurance products under the under Oregon law. Variable annuities are subject to a number of complaints. I checked in with the Director of Enforcement for the Oregon Securities Division, Kevin Outenselm, yesterday, and for the three-year period between 2003 and early 2007, there were 60 complaints to the department about problems with variable annuities. Mr. Banks will address this is one of the top issues for the NASD, and as private attorneys, we get calls, and I've included some testimony from a former client that's had problems with variable annuities, particularly selling these tax deferral products into existing tax deferred IRA plans when they shouldn't be in there. There are also problems with selling these to elderly people because they have long periods where you cannot sell the product without a very large default or surrender charge. So this bill will simply give greater enforcement power to the DCBS, and Corey Streisinger is here, I think, to talk about some of those enforcement powers. And I'll hand it over to Bob Banks to add a few comments.
Thank you, Chair McPherson, for having us. My name is Robert Banks, and I am an attorney in Portland, and I most of my practice is representing investors in investor abuse cases. As Mr. Shore said, the area of variable annuity sales is a major area of abuse in the regulatory side of securities and has been for 6 or 7 years now. I can give you a few examples of this. On the SEC's website, there are only a few investment types that they warn investors about before making their purchases. They are variable annuities, oil and gas limited partnerships, and equity index annuities, which are another problem that we're not here to talk about today. But these are three areas of significant investor abuse that the SEC is warning people about today. The NASD is also very concerned about variable annuity abuse. It has issued notices to members, advising its members, reminding them of their obligations before recommending or selling variable annuities. And the NASD has written letters and is publicly in support of state legislation that would include variable annuities within securities because of the abuse problems that they see. And the simple fact is that these are a problem because the commissions that are paid on variable annuities are so high. There's a great incentive for financial advisors to sell these products because commissions typically start at 5% and go up on variable annuities, whereas if they sold the traditional mutual fund, it would be normally substantially less than that. The problem with the variable annuity, as Mr. Shore indicated, is that there's a long period of time before you can make withdrawals from the variable annuity without having any penalties. Investors typically don't understand that. There are some tax problems with them, and the other problem is that there are so many fees built into them that it's difficult for an investor to be successful. Not that people never are successful, but investors do not understand that there are these surrender fees, there are administrative fees. They don't understand the high commission levels, and that's where these problems come in. I think what this legislation would do is that it would give the Department of Consumer and Business Services the tools that it needs to adequately regulate these products. Right now, these are insurance products under Oregon law, and they are subject to insurance regulations. And the insurance regulations say that you can't sell an insurance product without it being suitable for the purchaser's insurance needs. But since these are really sold as securities, what they need to be looking at is these sales from an investment point of view. And the securities regulations require security salespersons to ensure that the product is a suitable investment product, so that what they have to look at are the financial objectives of the investor, what their financial needs are, what their risk tolerance levels are, what their sophistication level is before they can sell this product. And that is not currently something that they would have to do under our state law under the insurance side. And I think that's a very important component. The other thing is that under the security side, if a financial advisor sells a product and they're registered, they have to be supervised by another financial advisor, and the supervisor has to look at whether that sale was a suitable sale before they will approve of the sale and before the sale can be finalized. That doesn't happen on the insurance side now, and it needs to happen. The new law would not have an effect on my practice or Mr. Shore's practice, because when we bring these cases, we would not be really affected by the changes that are here. The only significant change that would happen is that under the securities laws, we would be the person that decides these cases would have the right to give attorney fees to either side, either the claimant or the defendant, plaintiff or the defendant, claimant or respondent in an arbitration. It's discretionary, and the reality is that it almost never happens. And the reason for that is that almost all of these claims are brought in an ASD arbitration. Now, there are arbitration clauses when you open the account that requires you to be there. NASD arbitration has an industry member on the arbitration panel, and I can tell you from my own experience that it is extremely rare that attorney fees are awarded in those proceedings. They're usually compromise decisions that are made. And for me personally, I would never decide or not decide to take a case depending on whether there was a possibility of getting NASD attorney fees, because it doesn't happen. And the reason I say all this is to say that we really aren't here for self-interest. It's not going to affect my practice one way or the other. It really isn't. But I'm here because I think it's the right thing to do. There's a lot of abuse. There are a lot of seniors buying this product that shouldn't be buying it, and they need to be regulated. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Banks. Any question for
just a quick one.
Representative
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Banks and Mr. Shore, thank you for being here. Under current law, if somebody has a problem with a variable annuity, what claims do you bring?
I'll answer first. They are traditionally breach of fiduciary duty and negligence claims. The claims that we bring are that the advisor owed a fiduciary duty to the customer to make the right investment recommendation. And what we argue in those cases is that there is already a federal standard of care set by the NASD and its notices to members about, you know, who these investments should be sold to and the kinds of things that the investment advisor should look to. And so we can apply the federal standard, and we have done that successfully.
I would only add these are also considered securities under the federal securities law, and this bill would only bring Oregon in line with that well-established federal law. So there is an available claim under federal law as well.
Thank you.
Representative Krieger.
I assume your emphasis is on seniors.
Yes, sir.
What other products that seniors buy? In other words, they go down here to the local Cadillac store, and there's a $80,000 car, and that's marked, and I can buy it for $70,000, but they sell it to the senior for $70,000. Who looks out for the senior there?
You mean if?
Yeah, no, they're going to pay the full blown price because there's no one there to help negotiate the price for them to understand that there's a better way of doing business, but this might not be the most appropriate vehicle for them.
Well, the problem that I see, Representative, is that they aren't given a choice. When I can say probably 90% of my clients go in and they are told, here is the investment, especially seniors, here's the investment that I recommend for you. It's not, here are four or five different possibilities, go home and study this. They're usually asked to make an investment, they're recommended something, and they usually make it on the spot. And there isn't any negotiation over the price. There can be discussion over how much they're going to buy.
also a very complex product, which usually a separate prospectus is handed at the very end of the transaction and not discussed. And that prospectus is about 30 to 40 pages long sometimes. We have very sophisticated clients who run businesses who were sold these products who didn't realize that they were a type, that they had an insurance feature, and didn't figure that out until much later.
Just a short comment. The reason I wouldn't buy these type of things is I'm not familiar enough with them. I would have to do some due diligence of study to understand it, because I feel, even regardless whether I'm a senior or not, I guess at 67 I am, I have some due diligence responsibility of myself to advise myself, even if I have to talk to an attorney ahead of time. Now, I realize some people may not be doing that, but there is some responsibility on the part of the people who buy things also.
I agree with that, sir, but what I can give you an example of someone who came into my office last month. He worked at an aluminum plant in Washington, in Goldendale, lived in the Dalles. And at the end of his employment, he had been participating in the company plan, but when he was done working, he needed to roll it over out into something else, and he went to an advisor. He hadn't had any investment experience, and he was offered one product, and he said, well, what do I know? I'll follow what you have to say. And I think that happens a lot.
Representative Cameron. Mr. Chair, this is a pretty complicated issue for me, and I get materials in the mail by the shred loads all the time. I guess maybe I need to have a layman's. This is going to establish the variable annuities as securities. So what's that mean to me as an investor? How am I going to – today I can go in, it sounds like I can buy it as a – insurance product, and a lot of brokers are registered as they have the legal ability to sell insurance products as well as securities. So I guess as I'm going to go in, we make a law that makes this security. I go in as a consumer. How does this make it simpler for me or plainer for me as to what somebody's going to be representing to sell me?
Representative Fairman, I don't think that this bill would do that. In terms of how the investment appears to the person purchasing the investment, there would be new obligations, I believe, to explain to the investor a little bit more about the investment, and more importantly, there would be an obligation on behalf of the salesperson to make sure that this was the right investment for the person, given their background and needs and how much money this would generate for them, and whether that is in line with what they need. But in terms of the actual documentation being any simpler, if that's your question, I don't think it would affect that.
See, we have several more people we want to hear from before 8:30, so if we could be fairly brief, but go ahead.
Okay, well, maybe if the next witnesses can explain this to me. So I'm still relying on an individual, the same individual potentially,
because probably,
to explain to me what I'm about ready to purchase. It's still the same person, and now they have a new legal obligation, is what you're saying?
I think that's right, Representative. What I see as the significant part of the bill is that there would be new oversight by the Department of Consumer and Business Services to ensure that these were not sold inappropriately. And the hope is that the inappropriate sales would be significantly reduced, knowing that there's going to be somebody there watching to make sure that these are sold appropriately.
Mr. Chair, so I'm assuming we have somebody from consumers
we have
that's going to talk about that oversight.
From BCBS,
okay,
will be,
thank
be
you,
coming up. So before you go, though, gentlemen, Mr. Shore, you mentioned a figure, and I didn't get it jotted down, a certain number of complaints about variable annuities. And
I called Kevin Anselm, who's the Director of Enforcement for the Securities Division, and the statistic she gave me was 60 complaints filed with the Insurance Division between January 2003 and February 2007. Regarding variable annuity
and
products.
That's with the Oregon
insurance office?
Yes, because as of now, the complaints would go through the insurance division, as I understand
it. Okay, very good. Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Next on the list, Rick Bennett from the AARP. And Mr. Bennett, since time is short and we do want to make sure we hear from the other people, if you could be fairly brief.
Interesting question.
Good question to ask, Mr. Bennett. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. For the record, Rick Bennett, Director of Government Relations for AARP Oregon. Yes, I've provided a letter that provide some explanation for both our concerns related to variable annuities as well as our support for Senate Bill 257. I would just say that, you know, in years past, things were much simpler. You needed insurance, you went to your insurance broker, you went to the bank and invested in very low risk options for your savings, and then if you had a little extra money, you might go to a broker and consider various investment options there, understanding that there was a higher risk involved there. Today, those lines have blurred substantially, and I would just indicate that, you know, now we're presently in a situation where more investors are responsible for their own retirement nest egg. There are more first-time investors. There's more complexity in the marketplace. And there are also strategies that often target older consumers. We believe because of that there is a need for better consumer protection in this area. We believe that the variable annuities are being sold to consumers as investments and should be viewed and regulated as such. And we believe Senate Bill 257 provides the best protections for Oregon's investors. Thank you.
Very good. Any questions for Mr. Bennett? Thank you, Mr. Bennett. Now, Corey Streisinger and David Tapman from DCBS.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I am Corey Streisinger, Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and with me is David Tapman, Administrator of our Division of Finance and Corporate Securities. And I know your time is short, so I will be brief. The Department of Consumer and Business Services regulates both insurance and securities. So this bill is obviously of interest to us. And as some of the prior witnesses have mentioned, variable annuities have many characteristics of an investment or security, but they are, in fact, regulated as an insurance product. They're often described as a mutual fund with an insurance wrapper. And our goals in regulating insurance and securities are very similar. We want to make sure that consumers have access to a broad variety of financial products, but that those products are marketed in ways that are appropriate and fair and fraud-free, and that consumers have the opportunity to obtain financial products that are suitable for their circumstances. And variable annuities have a legitimate place in the market. We are in no way trying to prevent the sale of variable annuities. What we do want to make sure, though, is that we have the tools to enforce the laws and that consumers purchasing these products are doing so with their eyes open. And as some of the prior witnesses mentioned, we actually have seen concerns in this area, and some of the stories that we hear do raise concerns to us, and we want to make sure again, that when someone has sold a product in a way that's misleading or in violation of the law, that we have good tools in order to be able to stop that situation. I wanted to briefly review the differences between the regulatory system that would apply under current law with these products treated as insurance and what would happen if this bill passes and they are also treated as securities. And there are some areas where there would be no change and some areas where there would be modest change. In other states, you sometimes hear, well, this would create an additional regulatory burden because now the insurance department would be doing this and the securities department would be doing that. In Oregon, it's the same department, and our goal would be to have no additional regulatory burden and no additional filings and fees and paperwork. In fact, we today have staff from our insurance division and our finance and corporate securities division working together on these issues. We do have a product filing and approval requirement that exists already on the insurance side, and that would not change. Our insurance division would still review the insurance side of these products. The underlying mutual fund is reviewed at the federal level as a security, and that also would not change. So there would not be any additional filings and product reviews required at the state level under this bill. With respect to suitability, we do have, and there's been in both federal and state level for a long time, a suitability requirement for securities. And it is a little different than purchasing a car. The law has required that when a security is marketed, that the person selling that security has to go through some steps to make sure that it is suitable for the person in light of their sophistication level and age and financial background, because these are very complex products and they do tend to be heavily marketed. So that's been a feature of the law for a long time in the securities area. And with respect to life insurance and variable annuities, we have put in place a suitability rule on the insurance side as well. It's very similar. And that's been in place since 2005. So on the insurance side as well, someone marketing one of these products does need to take steps to make sure that it's suitable for the person's financial situation. But there are a couple of areas where this bill would make a difference. And one of them is with respect to supervision of the salesperson. These products are sold through broker-dealers. They have dual licenses as a securities broker-dealer and an insurance salesperson. And we require in the securities law that a broker-dealer be supervised at higher levels in the broker-dealer shop, and that creates a level of accountability, if you will, that a broker-dealer, a brokerage company, has to have procedures in place to make sure that its individual salespeople are obeying the law and are, in fact, going through a procedure to make sure that products are suitable for their customers. That requirement doesn't apply when the product being sold is an insurance product and not a security. The supervision requirement doesn't apply. And that means that if we in fact have a problem, we can't go and have the conversation with the brokerage firm about what are you doing to make sure that your salesperson is doing the right thing. And what we find is that in fact if the brokerage firm has that responsibility, they make sure that their agents are doing the right thing. So what this bill would do is it would apply those supervision requirements on up the chain in the brokerage firm, and we think that that is important in making sure that standards are complied with. The second major difference that it would make is it would give us some additional enforcement tools, and we have different sets of enforcement tools when we wear our insurance hat than when we wear our securities hat as a regulator. We have the ability in both situations to issue cease and desist orders and take civil actions and collect appropriate penalties when the law has been broken. But in the securities area, we do have the ability to impose higher penalties, and one very important area is through a civil enforcement action, we can obtain a restitution order in securities, and we can't do so on the insurance side. Because these products, they are products that generate high commissions, there is an incentive to market them, and there is sometimes an incentive to market them inappropriately. So we think having good enforcement tools something that's important. And so we do support this bill. We think it would make some helpful improvements. Okay. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Streisinger. We've run out of time nearly, and what I want to do is obviously we're going to have to hear more about this bill, committee members. This is an important issue, and we aren't going to be able to resolve it today. Mr. Nelson, is there anybody in your group that can't come back tomorrow for a resumption of this hearing, because we could hear from them at this point?
Unfortunately, I can't come back tomorrow.
Oh, my.
I don't know, Don Mangan can't come back tomorrow either. He's our principal technician.
Okay, well, we've got...
So if we can put it over until next week, would be probably our best...
Best on Monday, then? Would that work best?
Monday at what time we can meet?
Well, 8 o'clock is when we regularly meet.
Monday would be...
It's not Tuesday.
Why don't we plan to resume on Monday then, if that works? Ms. Streisinger, if you and Mr. Tapman could be here as well, because I think some of the interplay with the people in the industry would be helpful to hear as well.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 257A, and with apologies, we're going to be rolling over Senate Bill 306A until tomorrow's agenda. That concludes as much of our agenda as we can finish. We are adjourned.